Welcome to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini, the podcast where we meet the extraordinary talents, both on stage and off, working at Opera Australia. These conversations were all originally filmed for our streaming service, OA TV. You can find more online at tv.opera.org.au, as well as full productions and behind-the-scenes footage. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to OA TV. Now, my first guest, and there will be many guests over the coming weeks, is the wonderful violinist who's the orchestra director and concertmaster of the Opera Australia Orchestra. He is, of course, Jun Yi Ma. Jun, welcome.
Thank you, Lyndon. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure.
Great honour to be the first one.
Exactly. Now, Jun, I'd like to start with your very earliest times in China, when you first started playing the violin. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how you came to be a violinist?
Right. I started playing violin since I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's very funny enough. None of my family members are musicians, and they are doctors and teachers. So I actually was listening to my neighbor's kids was having a violin lesson, and end up the teacher. Actually, I was always going to the neighbor and listen through the violin lesson. And at the end, I picked the violin up, and the teacher said, "Right, okay, I'll teach you instead of him." So that's what happened. But I was very lucky. Actually, very early stage. After 2 weeks, the teacher said to my parents, "Said, seriously, he's got something. Maybe I shouldn't teach him, because I think I might ruin this for his future." So he actually introduced me to a really well-known professor in the Shanghai Conservatory, and Professor Ding. Uh-huh. And she's the university professor to teach a five-year-old. I was very, very lucky, and to start absolutely on the right track. So I have to say, I'm the lucky one.
Well, that's fantastic. But it must have been unusual, not only with your family, but with your friends at school when you were going to school, to be playing the violin.
Especially in China those days, they were just beginning to really focus on Western music. Mm. And they kind of started, had a Shanghai Conservatory in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. That serious, you know. Yeah. It's like the Olympic training team, you know. It's focused on that young. And it was really selectively chosen by the government, and there's a team of teachers and professors. Only 5 students per year will get selected to that each class, from the kindergarten of the conservatorium to the primary school of the conservatorium and to the high school of the conservatorium. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way, I have to say, to train as a musician from that early stage, but absolutely, not much of childhood.
Yeah.
Memories for playing around. Yeah. But a lot of practice.
And I'm sure it was very, very competitive.
Very. Only 5, as I said, only 5 kids will get selected from God knows how many thousands of kids.
But
from
then during going into high school as well,
all the way through. Mm. And they have a very tough competitive kind of rules. Among their 5 students each year, it doesn't matter, all of the kids are the best. The last one came under the exam have to be dropped.
Wow.
And there will be replaced one more from outside, you know, from the millions, probably.
Yeah.
So they just keep you competitive, you know, and make sure you practice.
Yeah. But then you went to America, I think.
That's
to
right.
Study with Yasser Heifetz,
No, I was very lucky. Since I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
And that was the first time, I think, after Cold War, Chinese and American government officially visit each other after Reagan's visit in China. Mm-hmm. I have performed for him in China, and he actually invited me to perform in the White House.
Wow.
So I actually went with the Vice President of China, as they called me, little ambassador.
And how old were you then?
12.
That's
so
fantastic.
I still remember I wear white dinner suit and with a red bow tie. So in both of the color of the China and White House.
Yeah.
And I was lucky to be the first child ever stepping White House to play.
That's wonderful.
And for the for Nancy and Reagan, and also for all the senators, that was the time I met Heifetz, because he is such a violin god. So
absolutely,
he got invited as a special guest to attend that concert. And I got picked from him, said, "Okay, well, I'll give you some lessons." Mm-hmm. So that's why the Chinese government sent me later on to mm-hmm. study with him for a year.
And I think you lived in his house, yeah?
Yeah, downstairs with my translator or babysitter or...
Oh, of course, so you couldn't speak English at that stage.
No, and also I can't cook.
Yeah.
I don't eat hamburgers those days. So I needed someone to cook for me, like a mummy to me and a babysitter. And of course, they have to watch me as well, just in case I fled away from, from the country. So I was living downstairs with him. After lesson, we have a ping pong table tennis game. There's the only chance I can get back at him.
Well, and I gather he was a very hard taskmaster.
Very. I have to be honest, I almost had a nervous breakdown, even through the tough years of my training in China. But he's way more talented. But, I mean, way more tougher. Mm. But I have no regrets. Mm. You know, this is such a life experience which everyone dreamed for. And I got that opportunity. Yeah.
So what, did you have a lesson every day with him? Or
almost every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's practice and violin is part of his life. And, you know, apart from eating and play table tennis, that's all his hobby is.
Wow.
Yeah.
As you say, an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And I guess the important thing about it was that you got a technique.
Yes, absolutely. I got a lot of, unbelievable, you know, advice from the violin god. Which is very, very fortunate.
Yeah.
Yes, and helped me a lot in the much later on.
Yeah.
And I probably didn't realize how amazing that opportunity was.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 12, but now I look at it, I go, wow, yes, it is it's a good memory and very, very much.
I've never asked you this, but and now's a good time to do it. I'm assuming you got from Heifetz the instinct that you have. You have an incredible instinct for style in Western music. You have an innate ability to really understand how the piece should go. Did that come from Heifetz, or do you think it was there naturally anyway?
I would say not just from him. I'd probably say it was through all my great teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very lucky to have like a Jan Sidifka was one of my teacher.
Yeah.
He's in Tasmania University, and he was one of the founder of the Con over Tasmania and Queensland as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well known as the string, you know, school in very high standard. Mm-hmm. So I learned from him and Charmian Gad from Sydney, and through a lot of great teachers. Like every summer I have with Yehudi Menuhin and all those great professors.
Mm.
I think it's just all combined together.
Yeah.
And and a bit of my own personal blood.
Of course, of course. You've played and been concertmaster in a number of symphony orchestras, including the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra,
that's
where we first met.
Yes.
And so can you tell us a little bit, what's the difference between leading a symphony orchestra and leading an opera orchestra?
Right. Okay. First of all, I would say, of course, if on the stage, symphony orchestra, you're always the centre of the stage.
Yeah.
And with the opera, I'll have to say you gotta learn how to really gel in with the singers, with the conductors, with everyone, actually. This is, I have to say, playing opera orchestra is way harder than playing the symphony orchestra. Once if you've done your way of work with the opera, once you go back to symphony, you think it's so much easier.
Yeah.
Which I was, actually, fortunately, when I was a year one in a university in Sydney, my first contract job is with Austrian Opera Orchestra, you know, ballet, at that time called AOBO. And I was the first contracted in the first year of the university. So I learned quite a bit until I changed to Sydney Symphony Orchestra. Then I realized, oh my God, this is so much easier. You know, because in opera, you got to listen. You really have to learn how to listen, how to watch. Not only just watch. In a symphony, you just watch, and of course, you need to listen. But with the singers, it's completely different, you know, with phrasing and style of music. It's really very high demand in the opera.
And also a different opera every night of the week.
Of course. It's much harder work as well.
Yeah.
So physically, you got to be tough and strong.
Yeah.
Mentally, you got to be as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's last, as you said, much longer.
Yeah.
So, and it's not always your melody.
Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about what it's like being the concertmaster? Because the concertmaster really runs the orchestra. We have a lot of different conductors coming and...
Well, a lot of conductors would like to think that they run the shows, but we always make them to believe that. But, yeah. But
I was about to say, we have a lot of conductors coming here, but fundamentally...
I have to say, it's more like, you know, if you want to... If a non-musician to explain to them, it's almost like a football team.
Yeah.
The coach is the conductor.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, really clearly with all the structure, everything, but... In the performance, you need a captain of the team, which I believe it's more like a concertmaster role in the orchestra.
Yeah.
And you have to deliver the performance, and you are the bridge between the orchestra and the conductor.
Yeah.
And not only just your own violin playing, you have to lead the whole orchestra. It's the almost the, it's the second commander.
Yeah, exactly.
To make a performance successful.
Yeah. And as I said, being the concertmaster, there's a lot of pressure on the concertmaster, not only about...
I love the pressure.
I know you do, which is why you're such a great concertmaster. But can you tell us a little bit about how you communicate or how you interpret sometimes what the conductor means? Because often a conductor will have an idea of how he thinks it should go, but not a practical application of that.
I think it has a lot to do with the sound. What kind of sound do you produce?
Mm-hmm.
And that will really show the interpreter of what conductors need. I mean, what he wants from the sound.
Yeah.
I think it's really important, the phrasing and sound.
Mm.
It's very vital for the concertmaster to really give the idea for the sections and work together with the other principal in a section, you know, orchestra. I think it's the language. I would say this is the voice.
Mm.
We have to produce the voice because the conductor, when they wave the arm, there's no voice coming out.
Yeah.
We are the voice.
Yeah.
So we just have to be there to do exactly the same thing, what he wants, and at the same time, what we can provide.
Yeah.
So,
the Opera Australia Orchestra now is one of the great opera orchestras in the world. And I think one of the things that makes it so special is that firstly, it's a very flexible orchestra.
Incredibly flexible.
And secondly, the orchestra finds the right tonal colour for each opera on a different night of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how you communicate that to the players, about what sort of colour you need to play Verdi, for example, and the sort of colour you need to play Carmen?
Well, I have to say a lot more heavier in Verdi kind of repertoires.
Mm.
So I think it's to do with the, how to say, it's the communication with the section leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We all understand each other, even one eyebrow is raising or you, the way you look at each other.
Mm.
That's the way you produce the sound. And and then you pass to the section members from the leaders, you know, role.
Mm.
And I think it's a teamwork.
Yeah.
I have to say it's just not me or not just the conductor.
Mm.
It's everyone's communication together to make this, you know, this sound so unique.
Well, Chun, congratulations.
Thank you.
As concertmaster and orchestra director of the Opera Australia Orchestra, in the time you've been with the company, you've made a tremendous difference, and we appreciate it enormously.
Thank you.
And obviously, I've invited you here today not just to have a chat, which has been wonderful and illuminating, but we'd love to hear you play.
Thank you. Well, I would love to just play one of my party piece. It's called Meditation by Massenet.
From Thais.
Thais, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini. We hope you've enjoyed the chat, and we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll get each new episode as they're released. We also hope to see you in the theatre in the not-too-distant future. And you can stay up to date with all we've got going on at opera.org.au.